am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E Pluribus Unum. And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist? You're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs? Fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Friday, November 10th, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. It is a wild and dystopic ride, and today happens to be the day before Veterans Day. And what does that mean exactly? It means different things to different people. I think there are specific reasons that we got this holiday on the heels of World War I, specifically, originally Armistice Day, and that's always interesting. I think maybe a quick point of note would be, you know, the apostrophe is officially not supposed to be in there. Anyway, I want to talk about that. You know, the spelling, you can go to Wikipedia actually and see the section under spelling of Veterans Day. While the holiday is commonly printed as Veterans Day or Veterans Day with the apostrophe S or S apostrophe in calendars and advertisements, the United States Department of Veterans Affairs website states that the attributive, no apostrophe, rather than the possessive case is the official spelling, quote, because it is not a day that belongs, quote unquote, to veterans. It is a day honoring all veterans. And so I want to sort of start with Veterans Day today. However, I didn't mention this yesterday because it sort of came about extemporaneously yesterday. I just started thinking about it. Thought it would be a great idea to invite Jacob Peterson on the broadcast, and fortunately he agreed. And so here we are. Jacob, thanks for coming on the broadcast.
Thanks for having me, man. It's always a pleasure.
The last time you were on the broadcast was, I think, 2017. So it's been a hot minute. We've had some things happen. And so it's, you know, I would say this is kind of a a tribute to Veterans Day in a sense, or the veterans, obviously. And so we can sort of start there. You are a combat veteran. I am a non-combat veteran, which means that I'm, you know, less of a person than you, less of a man than you. Just kidding. But that's kind of the thought process. And I will say, in my own defense, it wasn't entirely my doing. I enlisted to be a SEAL. Uncle Sam said, you're a little bit colorblind, and so we can't trust you with the red or the green wire. Yep. But you know what? We can let you be an underwater, you know, guy, hard hat diver guy, so you can do that. Anyway, I remember when George Herbert Walker Bush said, you know, that Saddam had invaded his neighbor Kuwait, and so, you know, we were going to go start kick up some dust. I just remember thinking, something doesn't seem right about this situation. I was not a foreign policy expert, obviously, but I just sensed something was wrong. And so I was grateful that I didn't, you know, I feel like maybe God intervened a little bit, maybe I could say. And if I could say so, you know, I was glad I didn't maybe get the Pat Tillman treatment or something like that, because I could imagine myself somewhere and saying, no, that's not going to happen. Yeah. So anyway, non-combat veteran, you are a combat veteran. And so welcome to the broadcast, sir. And thank you for your service.
It's a pleasure. And, I think you obviously talked about combat veteran versus non-combat veteran, and then we mm-hmm. can talk about not veteran at all.
Yeah.
And I think that there are times where those distinctions matter, and those seem to be the times that nobody cares about. And I think there are times where those distinctions do not matter, and those seem to be the ones that everybody does care about. So
how ironic.
Like usual, I feel like we just live in a clown world, but
yeah. Absolutely. Folks might not remember, it's been a while. I thought maybe we could start by kind of throwing out where folks can find you and, you know, all over the interwebs and stuff like that. And then, you know, I threw out some conversation heads yesterday, and some of it's controversial, some of it may not be, but some of it kind of leans into some controversial stuff. And what you said just now reminds me of some of the other things that you've said, like on your videos and stuff. You have a YouTube channel, speaking of where folks can find you, and it's the Prepper's Bunker Outdoors, all together. So if folks go to the Prepper's Bunker Outdoors on YouTube, they can find your videos. But it makes me think of, for example, your, speaking of controversial things, the attack on Israel, who is the false Jew? That's an interesting video, very short, 5.5 minutes or 6 minutes, just under 6 minutes. And I think it was that video, in that video, that you said something along the lines of the way psychological operations works is it's basically two extremes, and you know, the truth is somewhere in the middle. But that reminds me of Ezra Pound's famous remark that the technique of infamy is inventing two lies and getting you arguing heatedly over which one is true.
Yes, absolutely. And it's also interesting that I think it is human nature to understand that likely the truth is somewhere in between two extremes. Mm-hmm. However, if you build the argument correctly without knowledge, you can just pick somewhere in between the two extremes and still be wrong. So, for instance, and if I have to pick Trump or Biden and say that, oh, I'm somewhere in between, I mean, they both have their good things and they both have their bad things. Well, no, not really. Right. You might think that the truth is somewhere in between, but it's not that they both have their good things and their bad things. It's more likely that they're both working for the same entity and towards the same goal, and they're just both bad things altogether. It's not that there's somewhere good in between. And especially if you consider politics in general, people will say, well, I'm not really Republican, I'm not really conservative or liberal, I'm somewhere in between. But they say that in when the reality of the political spectrum is that both what we consider to be conservative and liberal are so far left of center that they can hardly see it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so by making people see only two options and believe that everything that they have to believe is somewhere in a spectrum between one or the other, they can place the spectrum wherever they want and pull attention away from what should fairly clearly be the obvious truth.
Yeah. It's an interesting irony that the bifurcation fallacy is a logical fallacy. You know, the idea that these are the two choices. And this is something that I've thought a lot about over the years. I've mentioned on this broadcast, obviously. But, you know, one of the lies that we've been arguing heatedly over, speaking of what you're talking about, I would say, is this idea of individualism versus collectivism. And from a Christian standpoint, I have been really harping on the question, the two-part question, who's in charge, who decides, lately, because if your perspective or your context is wrong, then it doesn't matter. Individualism, collectivism, they're basically two sides of the same coin. And if if I'm deciding for myself, whether I'm deciding for myself or I'm deciding for the group or someone else is deciding for the group, kind of the same thing. Man is in charge versus if God is rightly in charge, then it's not individualism or collectivism. It's neither. It's a different animal. So, but again, like you're saying, you know, that's something that we've been fed as though this false dichotomy or this bifurcation is somehow the only reality or the only options available.
Well, and you know, I get into some really deep discussions with a good Christian friend of mine in Singapore, talking about methods of government, and he tends to be more. He tends to support more governance, and I tend to support far less governance. But the problem is, no matter how deep you dive into any type of governance and any type of spectrum between a government that is more individual or more group-based, like you're saying, a very small or micro-government of any political type can likely succeed in a small community of like-minded people. Mm-hmm. Our local Mennonites here might be passionately and vehemently against communism, but if you look at their structure and the way that they are given jobs that they're going to do in the community, it's a little more on the communist side, but it works because they have this cohesion. And obviously we have plenty of examples where a more individualistic society does better. But the problem is we believe that our way to fix any overarching issue is to change the type of political body. And the reality is that there are different ways to manipulate each political body, and so you will always have an evil entity finding a power vacuum to fill regardless of what you're doing. And so ultimately the problem becomes scale, because the
what happened
going to be incapable.
Is it on my end or is it on his end? Okay. Are we losing you a little bit there, Jacob?
And on the flip side, my friend in Singapore believes in a faith and church-based government. And my response to that is we have very, very clear, continual historic evidence of that being a problem as well.
Yeah.
So we know that the only government that worked well, had no ruler, as Israel. Obviously, they had judges, but they were ruled by God. And yet the people were unhappy, and they cried out for a king, despite the fact that God was like, hey, bro, you don't want that.
Yeah, your king is coming. Just hold on. Just hold on.
Right.
They were like Veruca Salt in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate. We want a king and we want it now, Daddy.
Right. And for so many people, they had what we would probably look at as a political utopia with no single ruler besides God and a small system of judges, mm-hmm. right? But essentially individualistic or libertarian, probably a government has ever existed with no big leader, and yet you have the people crying out. So people will always be dissatisfied, for one. And as long as we are involved in something, there's going to be problems, right?
Yeah. Amen.
That's just human nature, fallen nature.
Yeah. And the irony is, I would say in addition to that, the irony is like Exodus 20, when Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with the Ten Commandments and says, guys, let's go talk to God. Everybody, it's going to be great. And they say, what? Are you crazy? You talk to us lest we perish. Mm-hmm. We don't want that accountability. We always want someone between us and God. And the New Testament tells us very clearly that Jesus is our high priest and intercessor. We don't need, a whatever between us and God. In fact, that's probably not a good thing. We need to deal with him with whom we all will give account. And we don't want that. We're, our human nature is to want to put someone in that proxy or that sort of firewall position.
Absolutely. Well, the number of Christ-based cults that exist today that put something between their parishioners and Christ, but still claim to be following Christ, is absolutely amazing. And it seems impossible to me that someone could have access to a Bible and still believe that that's the way that things could work. But like you said, people are looking to escape from accountability. And I guess, outside of salvation, all scripture is foolishness anyways. Yeah. So I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
But it's just sad. You've got the truth right there in front of you and you are looking for a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably the most more prevalent than anything else. It's just wild to me.
Yeah. This question for me, who's in charge, who decides? I intimated yesterday in our messages back and forth that it was sort of born out of the question that a good friend asked me about 15 or 16 years ago. That communism, he basically said, think about this. I think communism is religion. Don't answer now. Think about it and tell me what you think later. And I thought about it for years, and it just never really clicked until fairly recently. I had some answers and stuff that never really felt like they really hit the mark. And then all of a sudden, the contrast between communism and Acts chapter 2, and usually the Marxist crowd points to Acts 4. I say Acts 2, and just seeing how similar they are in message, so to speak, the whole from each according to his ability to each according to his needs, the Marxist communist slogan sounds a lot like what's going on in Acts 2:45. They had, they had all things in common and sharing with each other as each one has need. But you look closer and ask, who's in charge of that, though? And right. Clearly, it's the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the book of Acts. It's the Pentecostal outpouring and the birth of the church. And then all of a sudden, it just became like night and day clear. Oh, my goodness. Communism is the counterfeit of the Acts 2 moment. Anyway, I'll finish that thought when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com. Or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Welcome back.
So, you know, you were talking about the difference between who's in charge, who makes the decision, and how the communists will, or socialists will use acts as their biblical support for their method of governance. But I think an important point that obviously you made, but Satan is he copies.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Counterfeits,
so,
yep.
In the church, I can offer freely my help to any other church member or to any other person in need because I'm led by the Spirit to do so, and we can have community in that. That doesn't mean that we need to invite some despot to run us as a government and force us to do things by the whip. It's very different. And
yeah.
The idea of forced volunteerism, I guess you could say, it creates this power vacuum that encourages people to fill because, hey, I can have a population of people working for free for each other for as little as possible, which gives me an opportunity to take as much as possible. There's a huge power vacuum there. So, but Christ himself says that the poor will always be with us. He didn't give some, and he said the lazy man doesn't eat, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't give us some church outline or government outline for how we were all going to work for free for man.
Yeah.
He's giving us moral guidance for how we should treat each other. But yeah. There's a separation. There's a big separation there between what you give freely and how you live your personal life, and what the proper and correct method of governance is. But we never see when Israel was a nation led by God, we didn't see that nation running as a communist government.
Yeah,
we didn't have that as an example.
Yeah, and the critical distinction, just to sort of finish the thought, is, again, who's in charge, who decides, and realizing that, in the distinction between socialism, which goal is communism ultimately, and the book of Acts in the Pentecostal moment, so to speak, the proof that there is a distinction is that when Peter confronts Ananias and Sapphira separately in Acts 5, he doesn't say, why did you lie to the government? Why did you lie to me? Why did you? But he says to Ananias, you have not lied to men, but to God.
Yeah.
And so basically the point here is that it was obviously the Holy Spirit who had impressed upon those things. That's sort of the implied in Acts 2:45, for example, that the Holy Spirit, because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, these people privately in their prayer, let's say, had, the Holy Spirit had impressed it upon their hearts to do a thing which obviously included Ananias and Sapphira, but they decided to be selfish. And, this was a sober moment. I mean, they both perished after being confronted. And so there is a difference. And it's interesting that the more you dive down the rabbit hole of socialism and the utopian socialists and those guys, Henry, whatever, de Saint Simon, this is, they, speaking of the counterfeit, they do believe in the, as Hayek put it in The Road to Serfdom in Chapter 2, the imposition of a coercive spiritual power. They bring the revolution, and then they want to shut that down and impose a coercive spiritual power. Like you said, forced compliance, which is obviously an oxymoron, but they call it a coercive spiritual power. And so I would ask, from whence does it derive, this coercive spiritual power? And I think that's a rhetorical question. It's 1 John 5:19, beloved, we know that we are of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of wickedness or the evil one. So it's, that's, if man will not be, as who was it that said, if man will not be governed by God, he'll be ruled by tyrants, that kind of thing.
I don't know. I'm familiar with it. I don't know if it was John Adams or.
Hey, we'll find it. Ruled by tyrants, I forget. But, I think that's one of those cliches that's floated around. I think William Penn is the one who's credited with it. I don't know if it was actually him, but that's the idea. But that doesn't mean theocracy or those kinds of things, which was a, nuanced point I think you were sort of making earlier. Anyway, stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. Joined once again by my special guest, Jacob Peterson, and I'm very grateful. I said it, I think, on air, definitely off air. I'll say it again, and I mean it. I can't think of anyone that would be a better guest or that I'd rather have on in anticipation of Veterans Day tomorrow. We probably will get into some of that stuff because, you know, it can be controversial territory. I think it was Edward Abbey who made the distinction that a patriot should always be ready to defend his country against his government. And that's the kind of controversial territory I'm talking about. As I said earlier, Jacob, you are a combat veteran, so the Tim Kennedys of the world can't say that you can't say anything. So,
right. That was, I think that was, specifically when stuff popped off with Black Rifle Coffee Company, a lot of the community that spoke out against it was immediately dismissed and not bothered with. But when I spoke out against it, they were very adamant in going after me and being pissy about it. And but it's because they couldn't just write me off.
Yeah. I think, you know, as you look around, I mean, we can talk more about this, but, you know, you kind of, a person has a, you kind of get a nose for things. Let me start first by saying we have discussed taking calls. I think we'll open up the phone lines in the second hour for anyone who's interested. And, so the phones are open in the second hour. Local 512-248-8252. Again, 512-248-8252. And toll free if you have to. If you live in a cave and you don't have free long distance yet, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. And that's, I only say that because it costs the network money to operate the toll free line. So use it sparingly, please. And while we're at it, support the network, republicbroadcasting.org. Anyway, a person gets a nose for things, you know, especially when you start seeing patterns or you know that something's going on and you start paying attention to stuff and don't just buy everything that you're fed. You start to get a nose for things. And you see interesting coincidences and things. And so, you know, the, you know, Ian Fleming Goldfinger deal, once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, third time is enemy action kind of thing, seems to apply with force a lot of times. But these groups that you're talking about, they seem to somehow, you know, certain people on certain YouTube channels, for example, or certain things on social media just seem to, you know, they pop up in front of people. Somehow the algorithms think that these things need to be featured versus maybe things you might be more interested in, your content, for example. You know, these videos or whatever get tens or hundreds or, you know, thousands of views or even millions versus your stuff, you know, which I think is more engaging and compelling in many cases. And somehow the numbers just aren't quite the same. So what is going on there? And so, you know, you could kind of feel the push. Tim Kennedy, like you said, is low hanging fruit, but you know, there's that whole, it's interesting how people just sort of get sucked into that. And, you know, there are hints and clues that maybe I should be looking a little closer at what's going on here.
What's interesting is I've met a lot of these guys. For instance, like Brandon Herrera, I met at SHOT Show at like 2017. I was in line with him waiting to get my badge. And I was talking to him at the time. I believe I actually had more subscribers than he did.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked a little bit about his AK-50, but he was acting really weird and had no interest in any kind of collab and just bizarre vibes getting off this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see where that went. Kentucky Ballistics, before he even had 1,000 subscribers, I was like, hey, man, I like what you're doing. I like your quality. I live fairly local to you, and I wanted to do I'm getting ready to do a ballistic video on some of these 22s and stuff. And I was wondering if you'd want to collaborate on it. Cause at the time I have maybe 20,000 subscribers. He has maybe 800, maybe 1500. Generally speaking, I said, you know, I'll buy all the supplies and I'll come to you, whatever you want, whatever. No, dude, I'm too busy. And you know, a month later, he's got a channel sponsor of Magnum Research. with 2,000 subscribers. Like, that's not really how this works.
Oh.
It's, you don't like get into YouTube, get 2,000 subscribers, and then one of the largest gun manufacturers in the country sponsors you and starts sending a bunch of guns to you, right?
Yeah.
So you do, like you were talking about with tracking patterns, what's amazing about the way that the Lord designed people is a lot of times you can start tracking these patterns without even knowing that you're doing it.
But, yeah.
The algorithm pushes what they want you to see for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so people know that the algorithm is evil and working against them, that these big tech companies are evil and working against them, but they won't actually admit it to themselves or what it means. It's kind of ironic.
Absolutely. And that, I think, gets into the worldview territory that we were talking about earlier. I was thinking about it, I don't know, just in the last day or two. The Reese Committee, during the Reese Committee hearings in the 1950s, investigating the big nonprofit foundations, Thomas McNeice was the assistant director of research, and he was he testified before the committee. And so I forget who it was that was questioning him, but at one point, one of the congressmen involved in the committee asked him, "Mr. McNeice, if you were tasked with some, you know, job in government, wouldn't you want to surround yourself with experts?" And very, you know, insightfully, he said, "Yes, of course, but first I would want to know essentially what their worldview is, because that shapes the recommendations that they make and the direction that they want to take things." And so, you know, this gets to, I mean, this branches off in so many directions, but one of the things I wanted to mention while we're talking about this stuff is this concept called sociocracy, which is a decision-making process that's being used in government circles and business and things. And the idea is that we all get to have our say. We all sit around a table and everybody speaks their piece. And, oh my goodness, we came to a great consensus because, you know, we all got to say what we want. Never mind the fact that, you know, there's nudging and persuading and whatever going on and a little bit of Delphi here and there. But the one voice that's never invited to the table is the one that should be at the head of the table, and that's the Lord God Almighty. Mm-hmm. So men sit around a table, or men and women or whatever, but, you know, people sit around a table and pat each other on the back, look what we've done, but they never, in that process, by its nature, it's never a situation where people sit around and say, well, let's pray about this, and then let's go apart, pray separately, individually, come back together, pray together, and then share what, you know, the Holy Spirit impressed on our hearts. That never happens. And so, you know, back to this idea of worldview, what is my perspective on how these things get done? And if you know, kind of like what you were saying earlier, if somehow I think that man can solve his own problems, that's always going to go from bad to worse. And when you start talking about socialism, just as an example, generally, it sounds utopian. It always sounds utopian. But then somebody has to pay the bill. Somebody has to make widgets and food so that we can all eat. And pretty soon the utopian starts screaming, "We got too many people and we're not making enough food. We got to get rid of some of these crazy people." And that's how it always goes. Man cannot solve his own problems.
The other thing that goes right along with that, I've one thing that I've talked about quite a bit on my channel is that psyops are just marketing.
Yeah.
All they're doing is they're selling you an idea.
That's a brilliant way to put that.
So you've got someone with a lot of money and power who wants more power, okay? And you want to pass this law, of course you're going to sell it as a utopia. My neighbor over here, I like the old guy, but staunch Democrat, and he's complaining about his Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, it was never supposed to be like this. I said, no, and Billy, it was always supposed to be
exactly.
like this. This was always the point. It's not what they advertised to you. Yeah. You bought the advertisement.
Exactly. That sort of reminds me of a video you did recently about warranties.
Right.
Warranties are worthless.
Right.
Brilliant. Well,
it's all about the company. So,
yeah,
you know, I can talk about Ontario right now because for the moment they're not back into production, but Ontario Knife and Tool, well, you're probably going to get a dud, but when you contact their warranty department, they'll take care of you. Well, you know, Ontario is no longer a company right now. So how much good is that warranty doing you if it ends up being a dud when you really need it to not be a dud?
And I think in the video, Warranties Are Worthless, that you did last month, less than 10 minutes, people should watch it. You kept it, I would say, fairly pedestrian. You could have gone much further. And this is one of the reasons why I highly respect you. I would, you know, appreciate you coming on. You're not one of the rah-rah guys. You know, you said, I think in another video, you know, you don't need to dress up to try to, you know, get looked at or respect or whatever.
Right.
Like some people like to do. And, you obviously have, you know, again, I mean, it's tomorrow is Veterans Day. You are a combat veteran. You have the experience. You are the, what I would call the unimpeachable witness, but you're not flaunting it. You're down to earth guy who, you know, you make your own stuff, but you are not shy about featuring other people who make great stuff and try to encourage people to buy, you know, from local people, individuals. That was a big part of the warranties video. But, you know, I think the point here is, you know, you kept it fairly pedestrian. You could have gone further and said the warranty is worthless when your life is on the line because of this piece of equipment.
Right.
Or maybe you can't, you know, defend or protect your life or someone else's life, whether in a civilian or a military capacity. So.
Absolutely. Well, and the thing is, when you say that, I think most people's minds will automatically go, because of marketing, to this survival situation like Les Stroud, or to this combat situation like Red Dawn, like, oh, my gun stopped working in a firefight. What's this warranty worth? Or, oh, my knife broke and I'm down on a plane, a sole survivor in Alaska. What's this warranty worth? But the reality is, like, people find themselves in emergencies all the time that become survival situations for simple reasons like a product failing. So a situation where you could have hiked out with no problem, but your shoes fell apart and now you're barefoot. There's been some interesting people whose bodies were found not far from civilization and they're wearing no shoes and their feet are literally worn to the bone. Like, well, if you had better shoes on the whole time and you could have walked to civilization, it probably would have been a funny story that you would have told your friends about and you got a little hungry that night, but instead you're dead and you lived through this experience of walking until you'd walked all of the skin and meat off the bottoms of your feet right down to the bone and died that way.
Yeah.
It's just wild. And a lot of people, I featured an SE knife in the thumbnail and talked a little bit about the brand SE as a knife brand. Some people might call them a competitor of mine. They aren't. Not only are they much larger than myself, but I don't really view any other brand as a competitor because they're not me.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm selling. But a lot of people are like, well, are getting into arguments in there. Oh, well, this warranty worked well for me. Oh, well, you know, you're trying to talk bad about SE, this, that, and the other thing. The video is completely positive about companies that do honor their warranties when they need to, but we're talking about when when companies are using a warranty to sell an inferior product and they'll just disappear afterwards. Or again, if the quality isn't there and you're out and the product fails you, what's that warranty worth?
Exactly.
When you need it in the moment. So even trying to keep it as pedestrian as I could and trying to keep it as simple as I could, you still get people that have to run to their safe space. They trust the warranty. They bought because of the warranty. And he's saying the warranty isn't important. So now I either have to attack him or I have to think about what he's saying and get out of my comfort zone and get into potentially responsibility and accountability.
Yeah. And, you know, I talked recently, ironically, about the transition in America between the from the guarantee to the warranty and how it was sophistry. And, you know, there was the fine print or what you called the fine text in your video. And the guarantee, you know, that I spoke of from the days of old bygone era was like the Sears Craftsman guarantee, which I experienced personally walking into a Sears store with a wrench one time and saying it broke and basically saying it was my fault. I broke it. I did not use it as prescribed. And they said, here's a new one.
Right.
And I kind of felt bad, but you know, they said, no, it's an unconditional guarantee. So here you go. You know, if you come in, you're getting a new wrench. So if you want to buy one, don't tell us you broke it.
And you know, there's a lot of companies that do pack their guarantees and their warranties with fine print.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little thing for them, you know, of course, to hide behind. It's kind of like insurance. Oh, sorry, I can't replace your roof because your roof is covered against hail and this and that and the other. But what happened to your house in a tornado that's not a tornado zone is an act of God. So you've paid us $30,000 over the course of your life, but we're just going to go ahead and keep that. Thank you.
So,
I
don't mean to cut you off, but you know, you mentioned insurance companies, obviously, and they're in deference to businesses and you know, companies and the warranties these days. I mean, to be fair, I guess I just think it would be, you know, speaking of all of the other stuff that we've talked about so far in the first hour today, I think it's fair to circle back and say, but, you know, in defense of companies that will do that, you know, there's an honorable way to conduct business, but there's also an honorable way to be a consumer. And this gets back to, again, worldview. And, you know, if God is not in charge, and, you know, he's not the one who's deciding effectively, and I'm using air quotes, but, you know, if we're not led by the Holy Spirit in these matters, then it's the Nietzschean will to power free-for-all. It's social Darwinism, and whoever can take advantage of whomever the most wins.
Right.
And so you can see how the market sort of responds to that cultural shift where instead of doing the right thing, you know, in hindsight, if I had known that if I walked into Sears back in those days that they would just hand me a new wrench,
mm-hmm.
I would have just bought one. I wouldn't have told them because it was my fault that I broke it. Right. The right thing to do would be to just buy a new wrench. But they honored their commitment, you know, for better or worse. And in a society that operates that way, we can all trust each other. But when we start going this other direction, no wonder everyone is hedging and trying to create fine print. We see, you know, for example, companies pay millions of dollars because someone spills coffee on themselves. Or
yeah.
I know of examples these days, speaking of insurance companies, where I have a good friend, for example, who has gone through a bit of a, I don't know, an ordeal, I guess, with roof repair. We all probably know somebody who has had a roof impacted by extreme weather in recent years. And this friend is one of those people, and he's been going through stuff with the insurance company, but contractor that's trying to put the new roof on is basically trying to take the insurance company for everything they're, you know, anything that they can get. And that's fairly standard operating procedure from what I understand. And that's unscrupulous.
It is. But, you know, we've this system of mandatory insurance has created that, because the flip side of that is when you see what something costs versus what your insurance pays for, it's shocking. For instance, I had a surgery recently. It's always funny when I get these letters, because I'm fairly often, it seems like, going to the ER for something or other. Big things, not colds, broken bones and stuff like that. But I'll get the bill in the mail from my insurance, and it will say cost of the operation, $1,800, $3,000, $5,000, amount the insurance paid, $325, your total, $0. Yeah. Like, you know, the insurance company isn't paying a doggone thing, but if you're paying out of pocket, you're going to pay 10, 15, 20 times as much, because if you're paying out of pocket, if you can afford to do that, you're paying for all of the people who are paying nothing in a system where they can't be turned away for their ability to pay. You know, that happened in 1989. In my opinion, the United States became a socialist country in 1989, where hospitals lost the right to refuse service based on ability to pay.
Yeah.
And so overnight, I have a buddy who was a heart doctor. He said overnight, the cost of open heart surgery went up like 15 times or something like that. He said he was just absolutely in shock, and it was an emotional thing for him to see that price change happen, and it affected how he viewed the value of his work and the value of the system. But anyways, you know, why is it that I can choose to have insurance to pay for childbirth, all right, or I can pay in cash and pay 15 or 20 times as much? Why is my childbirth going to cost me $20,000 for one night in the hospital if I pay out of pocket, but if I can't make that payment, it's free?
Yeah. And so, what does that, in social engineering sort of fashion, what does that incentivize?
Not non-producing.
Yeah.
Right. So the whole insurance system, taking advantage of insurance is one thing on one side, but on the other side, the system's made to be taken advantage of, just like our tax system. And I'll tell you right now, I will go and pay a professional to help me do my taxes, and I will use absolutely every legal lever that is available to me in their own system to pay as little as possible, because my first year doing taxes, thinking I'd do it myself and it'd be easy. Are we cutting out here?
Yeah, we're headed into a break. Sure. It's the end of the hour, and so we can finish that thought in the next hour. Stick around, folks, with my special guest, Jacob Peterson. We'll be right back.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.